It's all right. Okay, all right. Well, let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to detour tonight from our study in Daniel. And in part, I want to, if the Lord will allow me to, I want to work through the prophetic part of Daniel 9 next Sunday morning, because it's really important for understanding the prophetic time frame of what's coming. And I wanted to be able to focus a little bit more on that, so that'll give me opportunity to prepare my heart and my mind a little bit better for that. But let's look to this evening in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. And I want us to think in terms of the fact that God is continuously at work in our lives, day by day by day. And there are some days that we especially know it. We feel it, we sense it, we see it, we know. But then there's other days that we don't know it. We don't sense it or we don't see it. But yet He is still at work. He's still there. And there's no doubt about that. So part of our job is to learn to trust Him when we don't feel it, and we don't see it, and we don't know, but it's there. And then part of it's just to know that it's all about Him anyway. You know, it's all about Him. It's all for Him. It's all because of Him. It's all through Him. So this is a great passage for ministry focus, which is good because we have a lot of ministers here tonight. And I'm glad to see all of these ministers here. And you did realize we had a number of ministers with us, right? Okay. I just wanted to see if I, you know, get any looks there from you. Actually, we are all ministers of the gospel. Okay, you know, not all are vocationally, you know, full time ministers, but we're all ministers. The root of the word minister is servant, and we have a ministry. We have a service that we give to the Lord Jesus, and it is a blessing and it's a privilege. And it is an honor. And coming to church is not your ministry. That really isn't your ministry. You may do some things that church that is your ministry or part of your ministry, but that's coming to church is not your ministry. And you know, we come to get encouraged and built and strengthened, equipped, helped to do ministry. And ministry often will start when you leave this room and you walk out of these doors, and it's just you and your husband, or you and your family, or you and your workplace tomorrow, you at school, or you know, it really begins there. So let's look at this and think about Paul's message to us through the church at Corinth. So if you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. who we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You this morning, and we gladly acknowledge You, Lord, God of heaven and earth. You are our God. We praise You. We worship You today. We declare that You are great. You are the Most High God. You are the true and living God. And so, Lord, as we come before You tonight, we want to give You glory and praise and honor. You alone are worthy. And Father, we thank You that this whole story, this whole narrative of our lives ultimately isn't really even about us so much as about You. And I pray tonight that You'll remind us of Your presence every moment of every day. You're there filling us, filling our lives with Your life. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to lay down our lives. I pray You'd help us to die to self and allow You to live in us and through us. And so, Father, we just thank You. And I pray You'll bless and encourage that one tonight, God, who especially needs a word from You. And I thank You for what You do for us. We love You, Lord. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Paul gives us this picture here of a treasure. But it's a treasure that's kept in a common vessel. You know, typically if we have some fine, expensive china or beautiful crystal, and then we want to have a nice cabinet, a nice china hutch or something that we can put that in and display it and show it off. And here, you know, the Lord is giving us this picture that what He has for us is that He Himself is the treasure. He Himself is this amazing treasure. And He's placed it into earthen vessels. Well, that pretty well describes us, doesn't it? Because we're made of dust. We've been shaped and formed into this vessel that we have physically and spiritually and every way. But God is the treasure. We have this treasure, and the gospel that we've been given, you know, that's a part of this as well. That's a part of this treasure that's been entrusted to us. And so that's an interesting thought, because when you come to church and you see this collection of God's people, and there's just, I'll never forget the first day I went to Mid-America Seminary, and I looked across there, and there was 300 or 400 preachers sitting out there. And I mean, every size and shape and color and every kind of person you can imagine was sitting there. I remember old Red, can't remember his last name, we called him Red, he's redheaded. Bless his heart. But he'd get excited during times of worship, and he'd get out his hanky and wave it and shout glory. And you know, every description of, you know, and it kind of helps you to understand a little bit. Wow. Our God is a God that, boy, He's diverse. He can use anybody. And, you know, when we come together, there's a wide variety of people, even here tonight, you know, in this group. We're different. We are different. And, you know, and that's not all bad. It's good in a lot of ways. Because the fullness of God, I think, is more completely expressed through the diversity of personalities and the diversities of gifts and things that are present within the body. And so that's needed. But He says, we have this treasure. There is this treasure in earthen vessels. And, you know, you might think that God would say, you know, I don't want to just entrust my Son, the Lord Jesus. I don't want to just entrust the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that men and women and young people and children can be saved and can be changed. I don't want to just give that to anybody. I mean, you know, He might have picked out the really rich and famous type people, or the really beautiful people. I figured somebody said, well, that's what we've got here, preacher, you know. Well, and, you know, God is not so much about, and we're very into, you know, all the high and mighty and the powerful and the rich and the people who have influence and the people who have wonderful abilities, and, you know, whether it's in sports or it's in entertainment or whatever it may be, in music, you know, we've put values on things. God is simply looking for an earthen vessel. And I mean, on one hand, it's humbling, because it really isn't about our wonderfulness, you know. It isn't about just how awesome we are. I mean, you know, we like for people to tell us how great we are. Well, I mean, it's nice to be complimented and all those things. But God isn't about, you know, He does this backwards. He does it, and it doesn't make sense to people a lot of times. But notice, He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, God just wants it to be clear where the power is. I was meeting with some pastors the other day in a little project we're doing, and one of the comments was on finding leaders and developing leaders within the church, and one of the men said, you know, I've had trouble sometimes because I'll see somebody who's very gifted in their work in the business world, you know, or, you know, in some way that they're really a strongly gifted or competent in what they do, and they really have some abilities, and you think, wow, you know, that guy's a banker. We need to get him on the finance committee. You know, he'd be great. Well, it doesn't always follow that that's the case. You know, sometimes we're very focused on outward appearance and on the outward things. And it's very humbling sometimes to realize that occasionally we run across saints of God who don't come across very well, may not make a great first impression, may not impress people, and yet they are precious saints of God, used greatly by God. And I want to encourage you, don't look at people with the eyes of man and just make your evaluations and your, you know, your decision on their worth or how good they are, or how much they contribute to the cause of Christ, based on what you see and what you know. Because I can tell you, I've been humbled before many times when I've been made to realize, boy, I don't know the half of it. I don't even know the beginning of it. And God has so much more that He's doing, that, and He wants it always to point back to Him. I think that's the one thing as ministers of Jesus Christ, is that we got to know, is that everything we do has to point back to Him. We got to give Him glory. If we're not giving Him glory, you know, when we pray for people, you know, we need to pray for people to be healed or to be saved or to be have needs met or whatever. That's great, and we need to be doing that. But as we're praying those things, we need to be praying that He will receive the glory. Because sometimes I think we receive an answer and then we almost pat ourselves on the back and go on, you know. And we want to make sure. I think that's one of the reasons it's so good when we give praise to God for something within the context of the body. You know, when Michael stood up there this morning and told about his daughter, man, that was awesome. Some of the testimonies tonight, that's tremendous. We need that because it's reflecting back to the Lord. Well, Paul goes through here. I mean, he's got all these issues. And he's got all these problems. We're troubled on every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. He's got all these things that are happening. But notice verse 10. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Our job as Christians is not to... It's not to bring this wonderful impression of Jesus to the world. It's to bring the death of Jesus into our being and to experience what He experienced. It's to know Him in the power of His suffering, Paul said in Philippians. It's to enter into a time where we can experience something of what Christ experienced. Because here's the thing about it. When you come to Christ and you're born again, you get saved, what has happened to Jesus has now happened to you. He died on a cross. You haven't died on a cross. And yet, because you're in Him, you have died on a cross. Your body has been crucified. You have been placed. You are so identified with Him that you're no longer separate. You know, sometimes you'll see people and they'll introduce themselves, you know, as being, well, I'm Hannah's brother, or I'm so and so, you know, I'm Susie's husband, you know. We identify people sometimes by their connection to others. And we need to learn that in Christ we have a new identity. And in Christ we have been identified with Jesus. And now our life is so bound up in Him and He is so bound up in us that you really can't separate the two of us. You can't really, you know, pull us apart and you know, it's all that we are caught up in who He is and what has happened to Him, what He has done. And that has all now become a part of who we are. And we've experienced His death on the cross, and we've experienced the burial of that body, and it relates to the burial of our old man, and we've experienced this new life that we didn't have before. We've experienced the resurrection. You know, it's amazing what God does, but Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And on one hand, this seems, again, this kind of, it doesn't seem like this is the really appealing message, you know, to really capture people's attention and say, wow, that sounds cool. Let's go do that. Let's carry about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So that the life of Jesus can be manifested in us. But that's what we're to do. We're to embrace what He did. I remember the very first Easter program we ever did, one of the songs we did was called Embrace the Cross. We're to embrace what the cross is and what it means. We're to embrace the death of Jesus because it's life for us. It is life. That's the source of our life. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life, because here's the part of it that doesn't make sense to us, but it's absolutely true, is that as we experience this, the dying of the Lord Jesus, we experience the death of the Lord Jesus in our body, basically we're going to be able to carry out what Paul said when he said, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And we're going to learn that in dying to ourself and in experiencing what Christ has done at the cross, that we take life to a whole new level. And partly that's true because now if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. And you have life that never ends, life that never goes away from you. And yes, the body may die. We may die physically. But we will never die spiritually. We will never lose that life. Well, so good stuff here. I want to focus on a part of the end of this chapter, though. He says, verse 16, just notice this with me, a couple thoughts here. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day by day. And one of the scriptures that led me to this passage was from the book of Lamentations. And I'm sure you all enjoy a good lament now and then. Well, you know, it's. I mean, I was reading it earlier and I was thinking about, I was talking about Jeremiah this morning, you know, the weeping prophet. And he wrote the Lamentation here. And wow, it is heavy and it is sad and it's, you know, it's almost depressing when you read it. But right there in chapter 3, he comes down to this moment where all the grief and all the hardship and all the struggle and all the difficulty kind of comes into focus, and the Lord's presence suddenly shines on it. And suddenly we see something there that is amazing. And so he tells us here, verse 21, Lamentations 3 and verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Oh my, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. But oh, as you're reading through these first chapters of Lamentation, it's some tough reading, because Jeremiah is so fixed on the fact that his people are being destroyed and they are suffering and they are being judged, and it's an awful thing. But yet, even in the midst of that, he is able to turn and say, but wait. You know, the reality is that we do have hope. There is hope in Jesus. And so tonight, I want to say to you, because sometimes we go through some hard things and some crazy stuff, and I want to say to you, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. And so praise God, because of that, we are able to stand this life. We are able to make it through the struggles of this life. Well, back in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, even though our body die, that's okay. That's not the worst thing that can happen to us. It really isn't. We kind of think of death as being, you know, this awful thing, but for a child of God, it really isn't. You know, the Bible says in the Psalms, Psalm 116, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." We don't think of death that way, but we need to be comfortable with the fact that when we die, we don't have to live in fear of that. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have, because when we die, we're going home. We're going home to the Lord. And so even if our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. God is at work on you on the inside. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if when you got saved, you started getting better looking? And, you know, people walking around and you just look at people and say, "Whoa, you must have got saved this week." So, some of you folks may want to use that this week, you know, trying to compliment your loved ones. "Man, you must have got saved this week. God must have really done a work in your heart. You're beautiful." Well, you know, that would be interesting if He did that. And I mean, there may be some ways in which He does actually do that. Really, there are. But, you know, He's not about just, you know, making us, you know, physically beautiful. But He is about making us beautiful on the inside. That is His heart desire. It's not that we look so good and we, you know, are so fashionable and we, you know, impress people with our appearance, because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. Isn't that what Samuel said? He looks on the heart. He's looking on the inside, and our inner man is being renewed day by day. Every single day, God is at work in your inner man. He's at work inside of you. And some days, because some days we're not even conscious of that. We don't think about it. We don't know it. If it's true, we couldn't tell. And some days God is using some negative things to work on this inner man. Some days He's using some of those hard things. Some days you lose your job. Some days your refrigerator quits. Some days you go through some hard, challenging things. But in all of that, God is at work. And so, you know, I know we don't rejoice in tragedy and things that happen. You know, we don't just say, "Wow, this is exciting. Filing for bankruptcy this week." You know, I mean, we don't get excited about that. But how we need to know, God is at work even in those difficult things. He's working. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose heart. The new inward man is being renewed day by day. And then notice verse 17 rather. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." You know, we've been reading, studying the story of Daniel. Daniel, you know, as of this morning, in the message in chapter 9, Daniel has been captive in Babylon for some 67 years now. He has grown old, never seeing his beloved homeland, the city of his fathers. He's been, you know, he's had that taken from him. I mean, I don't think, you know, we see Daniel, we think, "Oh wow, he must have been pretty good because he was a high up official. He was, you know, he did all these great jobs. He had a lot going for him." Yes, but these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they may seem like an eternity sometimes. They may seem like they're really long. You know, God told Abram, "You're going to have a child, and I'm going to take that child, and I'm going to make you the father of nations. Your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, and you know, and all this stuff." And Abram's going, "Cool, sign me up. That's awesome. That's neat. Hey, Sarah, guess what? But it was 25 years." Before God delivered on that promise. And Isaac was born. It was 25 years. How would you like to wait for 25 years, Drayton, for God's promise to become real in your life? Well, it's a long time, but in comparison to eternity, it's a moment. It's a moment. Teach us to number our days, you know, with the psalmist. Teach us to number our days, to think as God sees time and God sees our lives. You know, God sees our life from beginning to end, you know, here. He sees it all and He knows it. And all we know is where we're stuck right now, where we're at right now. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not so good, but I want to encourage you tonight. Our light affliction, the struggles we have, the pain, the suffering, the things we go through, especially for the Lord, it's only for a moment. And notice what he says. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You say, what does that mean exactly? I think that what that means is one day when we get to heaven, I think we're going to suddenly discover all the whys, all the answers that have eluded us here, and all these things that have been a source of grief, of affliction, of trouble, are suddenly going to be turned around. And those very things, you know, I don't think God's going to waste a single moment of your life. He's going to take the moments of your life, the good and the bad, the struggles, the hardships, everything. But those things that you've suffered through, those are going to become a source of joy and delight to you in that moment. You say, well, how can that be? It just doesn't seem like that's possible. No, it isn't possible here. It isn't possible now, but it will be then. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when we were kids. Of course, now they're coming back to vinyl records. Y'all seen that? You know, that's a real hipster kind of thing now. You know, they're doing all this music back on big records, Jim. You know, like we used to play. And but as kids, you know, we'd play them backwards. You know, and it's kind of like that's what the Lord's going to do with our life one day. He's going to play it backwards. And as he goes through and finds all those troubled places, suddenly that's going to become not just a, oh man, that was a hard place in our life. We struggled in seminary. We had these issues in the church we served. We had these kinds of financial problems, and we struggled to make it. We, you know, barely got by, and God provided. But boy, it was a. But I think some of the moments that we go through, those are going to come back to us. And God's going to bless us through them. I can't even imagine how that works, Brother Wayne, but I believe it's going to happen. So, and talk about, I mean, you know, now we look at things and, you know, some things we just try to get through. You know, we just, well, I've just got to get through this, you know, and survive. But imagine, in that day, we're not going to be running from any of that. We'll embrace it because suddenly we realize, boy, God was at work. He was doing some things even in that stuff that He, you know, I didn't know. I didn't realize. And now I can absolutely understand. I know why all this was going on. Well, notice verse 18. We're done. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Okay, so this is really simple. All you got to look at is the things you can't see, Renee. Okay? Because the things that you see, those are temporary. Those are passing. They're here, but they're gone soon. So you got to look for the things you can't see. Well, how do you do that? How do you see something you can't see? Well, it's the eyes of faith. We've been working through our Sunday school class, a study on faith, and you know, we need the eyes of our heart to be opened. Ephesians chapter 1, we need to have spiritual understanding brought to our life that will help us to see truth and help us to see reality when, as we look at it, there's nothing there. But that's faith. You know, faith is stepping out of the boat and stepping when you know there's nothing below you to hold you up. But you've got your eyes on Jesus, and it's okay. You're trusting in what you can't see. Now, I want to encourage you tonight. The enemy will try. He will absolutely try to discourage you. He will try to cause you to begin to think, well, God is not working. He's not doing anything. He's not helping me out of this problem I have. And you know, some problems last a while. Some they last a while. Some things that we go through, it just takes a while. But I promise you this, God is at work. If you're His child, He is renewing you day by day by day in your inner man. And He's working on you to build you to become the person He wants you to be. All right, we're going to close with prayer in a moment to just think about, ask God to help us in that area that we face this week or today or tonight, that maybe we have a need, you know, or maybe we have something that we don't understand, or we're going through issues. I want to encourage you to just take this moment. Let's focus on Him. And let's ask Him to make in our hearts and minds for tonight, for now, to make this as crystal clear to us as He can. And there's things we're not going to understand here. But let's ask Him to show us what we need in order to just trust Him. And just to keep looking at the things that we can't see. And, you know, we can't see Him, but we can see what He's doing. You know, we can't see Him, but we can see how He's working. You know, you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. And Jesus said it's the same kind of thing. So let's bow together and let's take this moment and just focus on the Lord. And if tonight there's something that you need someone to pray with you about, there are folks who'd be glad to do that. Ladies, you're invited to come and grab one of these other ladies here and just say, would you pray with me? And I believe just almost any of them would say yes. Fellas, come and grab me or grab one of these other men. Let's pray about needs. If there's something on your heart, let's pray. Father, we just come before You tonight. We thank You that what You're doing in us and through us, Lord, it's so that You get the glory and so that You're honored. And we pray tonight that Your glory will shine, Lord, through us. Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus will be so real to us and in us that everyone we meet this week, Lord, will experience You in us. God, do a work in our hearts, we pray. Touch us tonight. Meet us where we have that greatest struggle, that need that's just eating at us a little bit or worrying us. Lord, help us to lay those things at Your feet now. Help us to bring them. God, help us by faith to trust in things that we don't see. We don't see an answer, but yet, Lord, we trust You. And so, God, give us faith to believe You.